Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year in a couple of days, right? I just want to thank Pastor Henry for giving me the opportunity. It's always such a privilege to be able to minister to the family that I love so dearly. You truly are part of my tribe, and I love you, and it's always an honor to be able to stand here. So this morning, look at your neighbor and say, you were born for such a time as this. Okay, so look at your other neighbor and say, you were born for such a time as this. I feel like it's a very timely word, that we were born for such a time as this. And honestly, the way the music flowed this morning and just the flow in the prayer meeting really seemed to reinforce that the Holy Spirit has a plan for us. I woke up this one morning this week, and I had had a dream, and the Lord had given me a very powerful vision. And as I woke up, I saw a picture of this vision was still in front of me, and it was very reminiscent of a movie I had watched not very long ago about the American Revolutionary War. And in this vision that I saw a picture of Washington's army camped out in Valley Forge. And if you know your American history, which you should, you know that that's the place where the army had no food, no clothes, where they were completely run down. In fact, it was so bad that many of the soldiers didn't even have shoes on their feet. And it was a bitterly cold winter. They had been fighting, and this was 6 days before Christmas that Washington's army arrived at Valley Forge and they set up the camp there. 6 days before Christmas in 1777. Can you imagine what those soldiers felt like? The supply lines had been completely shut down. They were not getting food. They were starving. They had no clothes. And it's reportedly one of the most bitter winters that they had had in Pennsylvania. Many, many of the soldiers did not have shoes. And I'm going to read you just a short little excerpt from a letter that Washington wrote, dated December the 23rd, 1777, to Henry Lawrence. And he says, "We have, by a field return this day, made no less than 2,898 men now in camp, unfit for duty, because they are barefoot and otherwise naked. They had had a string of battles that they had been fighting, and they had lost every single one. And the British had taken over their capital." Remember, the British were at this time their enemy, and they had camped out in the capital of Philadelphia. Despite these conditions, Valley Forge is often known as the birthplace of the American Army. And 6 months later, in June 1778, those same soldiers marched out and overtook the British and chased them all the way up to New York. What happened in those 6 months? Let me go back to the vision I had. As I woke up and I saw this picture as clear as day of these men sitting in the snow and the ice in this makeshift camp with no food, with literally no hope, the Holy Spirit said to me, that's what my church looks like right now. That's what my church looks like right now. And I felt like I'd been hit in the solar plexus. You see, we've been beaten down truly this year by trials, tribulations, disappointments, and what seems to be like a losing streak of battles. Every battle the church has tried to fight, they have lost. Oh, no, no, you can't sing. Oh, no, no, you can't meet. Pray for somebody, you better not be doing that. And it feels like we've been held captive. The church has been held captive by an enemy. And in fact, the leadership in California in particular, has put untenable restrictions on the church. so that the church can't do their job. The church can't do what we were called to do. And I feel like the body of Christ is just like that ragtag group of soldiers that were camped out in Valley Forge as part of Washington's army. They feel hopeless. They feel like there's no change coming. Like no matter how hard we pray, no matter how hard we fight, nothing seems to change. But don't forget that 6 months later, Washington's army walked out of that camp and chased back the enemy. I want you to listen this morning with spiritual ears. I want you to think about Washington's army as you. I want you to think about the enemy as Satan and the enemy of our soul whose sole goal in life is to stop us fulfilling our mission, whose goal is to stop us inheriting what Jesus paid the price for. Let's face it, 2020 has beaten the snot out of us. Am I allowed to say that? 2020 beat the snot out of us, just like the British beat up Washington's army. We've been beaten down, and while we were down, they kicked us for good measure and said, "Don't you dare open your church." And the Holy Spirit is saying very clearly, "Hey, church, it's time to regroup. It's time to rise and shine. It's time to look just like that army that beat back their enemy." I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying to us, it's time for us as a body of Christ to rise up with courage. With courage. That's the word that just kept resounding in my spirit. Rise up with courage like never before so that you can do the job you've been called to do, church. Jesus stood on the day that he read out of the scrolls in Luke chapter 4, and he said, "This is what I'm called to do." And only those who had spiritual ears heard. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's what we've been called to do. That very same anointing is on the church. And let me ask you this. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it if we don't rise up and do it? It's time for a reset. It's time for a reset. It's time for an attitude adjustment. And the new year always offers us that opportunity. Somehow there's eternal optimism when the new year rolls around. And who of you make New Year's resolutions? Come on, let me see. You make New Year's resolutions? Why do we do that? Because there's an eternal hope. There's an eternal optimism. There's something that tells us it can be different. What a perfect time to reset. What a perfect time to examine our hearts and say, it's time for me to change my attitude and make a New Year's resolution and resolve that I'm going to be the army that wasn't there in December 1777, but the one that marched out in June 1778, the one that took the enemy and pushed them back. Let's face it, the enemy has spent 2020 sowing discouragement non-stop. Let me define discouragement for you. It means to lose confidence, to lose enthusiasm, to be disheartened. Anybody here been disheartened by 2020 this year? And to deprive of courage and confidence. Notice, it deprives you of courage. No doubt that's what Washington's army felt. Deprived of confidence, deprived of courage. And yet, 6 months later, they had victory. So what is courage then? So how do we define courage? I see Bella at the back there. we did a lesson on courage in the children's church not so long ago, and I asked them what courage means. And she said, to be brave, to do something you don't want to do. You see, courage, according to Wikipedia, and I love this definition, is the choice and the willingness to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, and intimidation. Sound like those some of the things that we've been facing this year? Well, courage means we face it head on. Physical courage is bravery in the face of pain, hardship, even death or the threat of death. And listen to what moral courage is. It's the ability to act rightly in the face of fiercely popular opposition. To act bravely in the face of shame or scandal, discouragement, or personal loss. The cancel culture has shut our mouths this year. They've intimidated us to be politically correct or shut up and keep quiet, right? One more definition. The antonym, the opposite meaning for the word courage is the word cowardice. So if we don't have courage today, we define ourselves as cowards. Cowardice means a lack of courage to face danger, difficulty, opposition, or pain. If ever there was a time for the church to act with courage, it's now. If ever there was a time for us to stand up and be counted, it's now. I feel, me personally, I feel like the enemy has browbeaten me into conformity and cowardice, made me keep my mouth shut to conform, lest my neighbor thinks I support something that's just not politically correct. I think it's time for us to look inside and examine our hearts so that when 2021 rolls around in just 4 days' time, and the circumstances in your life haven't changed one iota, and everything still looks exactly the same, that you stand with a rod in your spine and you have the courage to face it head on and face that intimidation and that uncertainty and say, I can make a difference. Amen? I know something for a fact. I know our God did not call us to be a defeated, quiet church. He did not call us to be small-minded and afraid or cowards. And let me tell you something else. It takes faith and it takes courage to do what you've been called to do. It takes faith and courage. No promise of God, not one single promise of God will ever be inherited without faith and courage. Because you see, it takes courage to believe God in the face of your circumstances. It takes courage to say, that's what God said, no matter what the circumstance is. It takes courage to do that. Remember Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. And hearing what the Word of God says. So if you want to have faith to cope with 2019, you have to put the Word in your heart. You cannot put what CNN says in your heart and expect to have faith or courage. Let me tell you what you will have. Fear and discouragement. Fear and cowardice. They will make sure that that is your portion. The Bible is full of admonitions to be courageous. Why do you think that is? Joshua 1:6. Only Joshua is standing at the brink of inheriting the promised land. They've walked through the wilderness for 40 years. Moses has died, and he is the new leader about to take the promised land. And God gives him one instruction. Only be strong and courageous. The very next verse, only be strong and courageous. Verse 9, only be strong and courageous. Why do you think God admonishes us to be courageous so many times, and that's not the only time. Must I tell you why? The devil's objective is to intimidate you out of your inheritance. The devil's objective is to intimidate you so that you never walk out the plan God has for your life. He has a plan for your life. And the devil will do anything he can to intimidate you so that you don't walk it out or inherit his plan. Psalm 31 and verse 24 says, "Be of good courage. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart." Notice what happens when you make the decision to have courage. He strengthens you. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." In other words, have courage. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So that's great. All right, I hear you. We're supposed to have courage. But what does it take to face life with courage? What does courage look like? What does the face of courage look like? I think it looks very different to the way we have responded to 2020. I think courage looks like Esther, who was born for such a time as this. I think courage looks like David, or Moses, or Joshua, or Daniel, or the three Hebrew boys. That's what I think courage looks like. All of them, every single one of those names I mentioned, were born for such a time as this. They had a destiny. I think courage can look a little scary. And I think courage can look a lot like defiance. But I know courage does not look like the status quo. I know it doesn't look like what we are right now. I think courage knows what Romans 8:31 says. It says, "What shall we say then? If God be for us." Actually, let me read it. "What shall we say then to all of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Let me read it in today's vernacular. What shall I say then to COVID, to lockdowns, to shut-ins, to riots, to chaos? I don't care because my God is for me. God is for me. It's easy. It's easy to be consumed by the chaos. It's easy to be consumed by the fear around you. But it's our decision. Are we going to allow the enemy to discourage us, drain us of strength, drain us of confidence, and drain us of courage, deprive us of confidence in our God? Or are we going to encourage ourselves? Not even Fox News is going to encourage you. Let me just tell you that. There's only one place or two places that I could find that the Bible speaks of to be encouraged. The first one is in the Word of God, because as you read his Word, faith comes. And when faith comes, you get courage to stand and to take what belongs to you. But there's a reason that Paul told us in Hebrews chapter 10, I think. I didn't write it down. He said, "Forsake not the gathering together of the saints." Listen to what the next verse says, the next verse, "to exhort and encourage one another." Wow. So the devil shut us out so that we could not be exhorted and encouraged by one another. And then he said, especially as you see the day approaching. Is this a verse for us today, right here, right now? Forsake not the gathering together of the saints, because you'll find encouragement there. And encourage, literally, the word literally means to pour into your heart, to pour valor and confidence into your heart. You know, David was a mighty warrior, and he went out and he fought the Amalekites with his mighty men, King David I'm talking about. And while he was defeating the enemy, the Amalekites came in and burned the city of Ziklag, where he lived, to the ground. Not one building left. They literally burned it to the ground. And they kidnapped every woman and child in the city. I want you to imagine what that was like when David came back after fighting his battles. And it says that the people were grieved and greatly distressed. David and his men arrived back to devastation. And if that's not enough, the mutiny within the ranks says, we're going to kill David. This is his fault. Look what happened while we were away. He did not protect our wives and our children. And listen to David's response. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Well, he was out fighting battles, and he gets back, and the people speak of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved. They didn't know who to blame. They didn't know who to blame, and so he was just the right target for them. Every man for his sons and daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. In other words, David chose to trust God. He reminded himself of the battles he had won. He reminded himself of how God had proved himself to him over and over and over again. He could have focused on the here and now and the devastation and the men trying to stone him, but he chose to encourage himself. If you need to encourage yourself, remind yourself of what God has done for you this year. Because I don't care if you're sitting here today, you have something to thank him for. If you are sitting in this church this morning, you can say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You have moved in my life. Every single one of us. Yes, let's give the Lord a hand because he has. He has touched every one of us today. Now, we can either remind ourselves about this chaotic season we live in, or we can remind ourselves about God's goodness and what he's done for us this year. David made that choice. We can make that choice too. Let's commit that this year we're not going to believe the lies of the enemy any longer. And you know why we don't have to believe them? Because we're not called to live like the world lives. We don't have to live like they do. We have a different way to live. Now, before we go any further, I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit is saying to each and every single one of you here this morning. You may not like 2020. You may not like where you find yourself right now. But I want to tell you that God knew you would be alive right now. And you're not living in this decade by chance. You're not in the Promised Church by chance. God knew before the foundations of the world exactly where and when he would need you. And he prepared you. He sent you to the promise. He sent you to sit under Pastor Henry's teaching. He sent you to Bible school. He equipped you and empowered you to be ready for now. Listen, instead of thinking, why have I got to deal with all of this? Why don't you think about how God has actually entrusted to you, God has put his trust in you to deliver what the world so desperately needs. Who's going to deliver to them the peace that they need, the hope that they need, the healing that they need if we don't? He's trusting us to deliver the salvation to anybody who chooses to believe. You see, he perfectly aligned your destiny and your call and your plan, his plan and your purpose for right here, right now, for the assignment he has on your life. And there is nobody else who can do what he's perfectly equipped you to do. He has an inexhaustible supply of the Spirit of God within you, flowing out through you and upon you to meet the needs of the people that you touch. He knows exactly who he created you to be. And he knew the generation you should be born in. He destined you to be alive in this decade, 2020, 2021, all the way through to 2030. This is the decade that he needs you. And his plan for you is not one of obscurity. God never planned any of his people to live in obscurity and silence. His plan for you was to do exploits in his name, to be strong and courageous. Listen to David in Psalm 138. You keep, from the Passion Translation, you keep every promise you've ever made to me. Every promise you've ever made to me. Since your love for me is constant and endless, I ask you, Lord, to finish every good thing you've begun in me. We're supposed to be the Joshuas and the Calebs. We're supposed to be the ones who defy the odds to bring the hope, the good news, and the healing. We are the ones who are supposed to know their God and do exploits. The ones who are supposed to be strong and courageous. And I have made a decision, a resolution. I am determined that I am throwing off any weight that is holding me back. Any single weight that is holding me back. I'm determined that I'll find new strength, new vision, and new courage to fight the enemy of my soul who wants to keep me down, who wants to stop me stepping out in courage and fulfilling the divine call that God has on my life. I'm determined that when he comes, the Bible says that Jesus is looking for one thing when he returns. Do you know what it is? He's looking for faith. And I am determined that when he comes, he will find faith and courage in me. I will not be a coward. And I hope that you're going to join me today. I hope you're going to resolve and make a resolution for this new year that you're going to throw off the weights that so easily beset us, the things that hinder us and hold us back, and run your race alongside me so that we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That I have resolved that I will not be listening to the lies that are fed to me 24/7. I am not going to keep the light under a bushel. And I am not going to keep the gospel from being shouted from every rooftop. You can try and shut me down, but you cannot. You cannot shut me down. I will not withhold from those that need it the light, the truth, and the way. And showing them the glorious signs and wonders that are for those that need it most. What are you going to fix your gaze on? What are you going to put your eyes on in 2021? The choice is yours. You can sit around complaining about how pathetic 2020 has been, how you've had to struggle, how hard it has been. You've had to homeschool. You lost your job. You had to make unemployment claims. Are you going to complain about how hard it's been? Or are you going to be filled, listen, with excitement? For what the future has. I skipped a part over here that's really, really important. When the bombs were falling on London during the Second World War, and people were hiding and terrified and petrified, there's a famous saying, Winston Churchill stood up and he said, "This is our finest hour. This is our finest hour, church. This is our finest hour. This is where we shine. This is where we show who God really is. This is where we say, I am the Joshua. I am the Caleb. I am the one who carries the light, the truth, and the way. I am the one who knows my God and can do exploits." That's who we're supposed to be. This is the season we've been waiting for. This is the season we're supposed to shine. The darker it is, the more you're called to shine. Because you see, those people in the world who are looking to the government to give them handouts, who are looking for the vaccine, who are looking for the hope, who are looking for all the solutions to all their problems, you know what? They're going to come up empty because nobody has the answers that Jesus does. and he's in you, and he has the supply within you. Nobody can give them what they need like you can. God has given us the supply, the light, and the hope for those people out there. This is literally the Isaiah chapter 60 season. Do you remember at the beginning of July, I spoke about this? Isaiah chapter 60, I'm just going to read the first three verses. It says, arise and shine. And this is you, church, for the light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Look at yourself, look at your neighbor and say, the glory of the Lord is on you. Why? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory will be seen on you. And what will happen? The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This is what we're supposed to be right now, church. I double dog dare you to do something courageous this week. What is going to be written about you, and what are your grandkids? What are your kids going to tell your grandkids about your courage? Are they going to tell them how you shut yourself in and wouldn't do anything? Are they going to tell them how you slew your giants and had courage in the season when nobody had courage to stand? What are you going to leave? What is the heritage and the legacy you're going to leave your kids? Do you want God's favor on your life? You want God's favor on your life? Well, you know what? God's favor is attracted to you when you step out to fulfill his assignment. That's a powerful word. You want his favor? Step out and do what he's called you to do, because he will make sure that everything you need to accomplish your assignment will be there, more than you need. Hebrews 11 is the hall of fame for all those who lived by faith. And if you read through the whole chapter, and I encourage you to do so, it talks about Abel and Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, and many, many others. But I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. What this is saying is they had faith and courage for the assignment on their life. When you step out to fulfill your assignment, those signs, that courage, those wonders will follow you. It really is time for the greater works. It really is time for the dead to be raised. It really is time for the gospel to be preached to every corner of the world. It's time to see miracles we've never seen before. Those unprecedented miracles that Jesus said, you will do greater works. This is the season where God is waiting to invade the earth with his glory. And he cannot do it without his church. His glory rests in and on you. It's a time for reformation. It's a time for awakenings. Because we all know this, the harvest is plentiful. The fields are wide unto harvest. If ever there was a desperation, it is now. Are you ready? Are you willing? Do you have the courage to put out the sickle and bring in the harvest? So we can react to the darkness and despair that the devil is dishing out in abundant portions, that he's sowing all over the earth. Or you can see this as a handwritten invitation from God himself to be the light bearer. Here's my invitation. Will you go and shine your light in the darkness? Will you be the one that the glory is seen on? The one that shines the light? Perhaps he's been calling. Perhaps he's been waiting for just such a time as this. Esther was in the perfect time for her divine destiny to intersect in God's timeline. Your divine destiny is intersecting in God's timeline. But it's up to you to have the courage to say, I'll be the light. I'll be the voice. I'll be the harvester. This could be your finest hour. This could be your finest hour. This should be the church's finest hour. Let's take our eyes off CNN. Let's take our eyes off Fox News. Let's take our eyes off the lies and the chaos. And let's turn our eyes to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who holds all things together, the one who's the anchor in our storm. And make no mistakes, there's a mighty storm around us. Listen to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 from the Passion Translation. We have the certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor, holding our souls to God himself. Listen to what your anchor is fastened to. Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat, which sits in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold, sits in the Holy of Holies. The anchor is tethered to the throne of God in the Holy of Holies. How can we be afraid? Do you think the throne is shaking? His anchor, your anchor, is tethered to the throne of God. Let's choose in 2021. Let's resolve to rise up like that ragtag army of Washington's in Valley Forge and take the inheritance that's been promised to us. To run the race we've been assigned. To carry the torch and the glory we're supposed to be carrying. Let's find the courage to shine the light into the darkest corners. And show the world the way. They're weary. They're without hope. And you within you have the ability to make 2021 the church's finest hour. I'm going to leave you with that. Resolve that 2021 will be different to 2020. Whether the circumstances change or not. Whether COVID disappears, whether the schools open and your favorite coffee shop is available for you to go and have coffee in next week is irrelevant. The way you change is you change your heart. Make 2021 your finest year ever.